welcome back to another episode of Travel Minded, the podcast. On today's episode, I am joined by Joanna Kenny, who is a 33-year-old who lives in Cumbria, channeling the big sis energy. She's all about creating the content she needed to see growing up, and as a former esthetician, challenging unrealistic beauty standards with the hashtag Pores Not Flaws movement. In the episode, we discuss this, as well as how work has taken her overseas to so many exciting places. When was the last time you went away?
It's actually Nick coming up to this time last year. Yeah.
So where did you go? Anywhere nice?
We went back home because we lived in the British Virgin Islands for 5 years. And so so when I say home, that's where I mean. And we went back there. We left during the pandemic. So it was just all a bit too much. And we hadn't really properly said goodbye to anyone because of quarantine and different things. So we wanted to go back, say goodbye. So it was kind of like a holiday in a way. It was getting away and it was leaving this country. But we went back to where we'd left before we got to this country, so it was a weird one, but it was really nice. And we definitely won't be going on holiday anytime soon because we bought a house recently.
Was it work that took you that way?
Yeah, it was work, and it was definitely a decision that I was content where I was, but I just also, I was living alone in an apartment in London that I'd bought myself, and I was like, really felt like I'd, you know, made it and felt really good about that position and felt really good in the job that I was doing. And I had a job already where I was traveling for work, so I was based in London, but I would go to like two different countries a month, so that was like quite I like that a lot. But I did it for three years, and I think it got to the point where in between the being in two different countries a month, I was then, when I was based in the UK for that month, I was traveling all around the UK in a car. So I definitely felt like that side of it I wanted to not do, but it was always a mixture. So I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice just to like live overseas? And then something just came up and I thought, this is like once in a lifetime gig here. And not only that, I know these positions don't come up very often. So they kind of, like, even if the timing's off, you have to just go for it anyway. So I did. And a lot of things held me back to do with, like, insecurities. I had acne at the time, which I'd had already for, like, 13 years. I can't really recall the extent of time at that moment. But it had been a very long time, and on and off trying to like clear it and different things, and I was at a point where it was just manageable at that stage. So I definitely had visible acne on my cheeks and my jaw, but I was concealing it like well enough, and I'd kind of just reached a point with it where I just accepted it and just like, hey, this is just how my skin is. And you know, I've tried a lot of things at that point. I was like, that mentality of I've tried everything, nothing works. And just a bit defeated, I suppose. So when this opportunity came up, it was in the Caribbean, I thought, okay, really want this job, but realistically, like, how will my skin react to being in a hotter climate with humidity, with sweating a lot? Am I going to be able to maintain keeping foundation on? Because I layered three different types of foundation at that point to conceal my skin. So I thought, realistically, am I going to be able to do that? What's that going to be like? And then I thought, well, I haven't been wearing SPF in the UK because I am super scared that it's going to break me out even more. And I should also say that my background is an esthetician. That's what I'm professionally trained in. And that was my job at the time as well. And I just thought, you know, I know that I should be applying SPF, but the fear of breaking out more, it surpassed any worry about UV damage and sun damage. So I made the decision at that point that I wasn't wearing SPF. And I thought, if I move to the Caribbean, I have to wear SPF. Like, there is no buts and maybes. Like, you absolutely have to apply it. And I thought, well, that means I've got to find an SPF. And then that means that probably going to break out because I seem to just break out on SPFs. So I had all these thoughts and all of that stuff like going around in my head at the time of interview and things like that. I was actually considering at the point where I got offered the job, I was actually considering not taking it because I just did not know if I could maintain the level of standard of beauty that I knew this company expected, because it was very much partly being hired for how you looked. All of my jobs have been, because I work in the beauty industry, so there is always that element of that you are representing the company, and it's brutal and it's exhausting, but that is what I was used to. And having acne wasn't part of that description, and so it just added that added pressure. And I think a lot of people with acne feel unprofessional with it, because I guess the stigma of it being like an element of being immature, like people thinking that you're younger than you are or whatever. But you know, I was experiencing what I did, and it was always that feeling of like people would look at me and think, you know, I wasn't very good at my job because I was an esthetician and had acne and I couldn't do anything about it. So you kind of, all these kind of imposter syndrome type things come up, but it was a life-changing experience. And I'm really pleased that I didn't listen to all of those voices in my head. And I thought, you know, seize the day.
Absolutely.
And packed a bag, one bag, had a one-way ticket. And yeah, never looked back. And my skin did misbehave, and sweating and applying makeup was a nightmare. But it was being there, reaching new levels of exhaustion with concealing my skin, where I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. It's really affecting me mentally. I met my now husband there, and we'd been together for 3 years. And I was concealing from him for the whole time. And we lived together as well, and he'd never seen me without makeup. And I just thought, no, I cannot sustain this. If I want to stay in this relationship with him, which I do, then something needs to change. He needs to see that I have acne, because I can't hide it from him anymore, because it's hurting me. But we had so many amazing memories there, and it had absolutely nothing to do with my skin. So I always like to remind people of, no matter like what you're worried about and what you're thinking about, you know, with your skin, or whether it be to do with your body, it is the least important thing. And also, it's not the thing that you're going to remember in years later when you're reflecting back on all the lovely times that you had. It's not going to be a factor. So yeah, it kind of was for me, because I made it about starting the journey that I'm on now, and like cleared my skin through kindness opposed to just hating on my skin all the time. And I looked at it in a completely different way, started the account that I have on Instagram, documented like my process of like my one final attempt of trying to do something about it. And I accepted my skin in a positive way, not in the defeated way like I had previously. I did it in an accepting way, of a being gentle to myself way. And then that opened up new things in my mind, where I was like, oh, actually, I could try this. I haven't tried this before. And whereas before I'd thought I'd done everything and like, it was like, I'm hopeless. This different attitude, I was like, oh, actually, I could do this. And I could measure my progress, and I could take pictures, and I could do this. And prior to that, I would never have even considered doing any of that. So, my journey with it all actually started in the Caribbean, like being there, having this different lifestyle. Went through this crazy event where we had a hurricane and it was Hurricane Irma, and the whole resort that I worked at got destroyed. But me and my husband, we stayed on and were part of the like rebuild process. Like small team of us was just staying there. And during the hurricane, when everyone else was being like, felt like everyone transformed into Indiana Jones and everyone's like survival instinct kicked in. And all I could worry about was where I could find a mirror. And if I could, I took my makeup. We had a ditch bag. We were told to have a ditch bag. So if you were to be evacuated like last minute, then you would have your passport and any other essentials that you needed to have on you. And obviously my essentials were foundation. So when it came to it and everything was destroyed, I was like, okay, I've got my ditch bag. I've got my foundation. now amongst all of this chaos, I need to find a mirror so I can go and touch up my skin while everyone else is finding somewhere to sleep that night, setting up place so we can all have something to eat, you know, making everything sanitary. And that's all that I'm worried about. And at that point, I knew that this had gone way beyond just basic insecurities. This was shaping and changing what should be a very basic instinct that I have as a human being to go into survival mode, to forget all of those societal pressures and expectations and just survive. But I wasn't. I was still very much the other way and like so consumed by all of these fears and worries about how people saw me that I wasn't, that survival instinct wasn't kicking in. So that was a real worry that happened. And it was because of that event, because of that moment, that I actually saw the impact it was having. Over a period of about a year, I worked on that psychologically, went through different steps, like told my husband about the fact that I had acne and this is what I needed to do. I needed to walk around the house without makeup on. I needed to eventually build up the courage to go to work without concealing my spots. I needed to not use filters on social media like I had been. I needed to, I don't know, I just had all of this like list of things that I knew I needed to overcome. I needed to share it on social media. I needed to share to people like what they were used to looking, seeing me like, and actually how I was about to start showing up in life. And like I say, it was a real gradual thing. It wasn't did it all at once. It was something that I said I needed to do, and made it like a blog initially of different things I was doing, and then that moved more onto just social media. And yeah, being in the Caribbean and going through that hurricane started.
That was that point.
Me being here, really. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's great that you can use the social media platform to really show people that reality. Like, I know you do a lot of comparisons of like, this is Instagram, yeah, this is reality. And that's one of the hardest things of social media, that a lot of people, and especially young people, like they're very exposed to it quite early on in life, and much more earlier than, mm-hmm, I mean, it wasn't even around really. Like when, mm-hmm, we were growing up, it was starting to get to the point of Facebook and MySpace, but it was definitely, yeah, like it's definitely developed a lot more. And it is like that kind of filtered, like, yeah, we're so exposed to filters. And I think for your followers, it's probably great to be able to see people that maybe people follow you because they're going through similar journeys, they're struggling with their skincare. So to be able to kind of have someone to be able to be relatable must be, yeah, so important for them.
Yeah, and also just to know that it is possible. Like, I hope that I'm shining a light at the end of the tunnel for them, because I used to be that person that said, I will never, ever leave the house without makeup on. I will never be able to do this. I will never be able to show someone my acne. I will never be able to accept it or to feel confident in myself with my skin this way. And not only that, is once I realize, it's a bit like realizing you have a superpower when you believe in yourself and you're like, no, actually, I am going to do this. I am going to fix this myself. You know, I've been relying on doctors and medicines and skincare and all these other things to help me. And of course, it's there as support. But fundamentally, I needed to do a lot of it myself, which I thought I had been doing. But because it came from a position of hate, it wasn't productive at all. And I wasn't doing things the way I should have been doing them because I wasn't seeing clearly. Whereas when I actually started being a lot kinder to myself, then I started like feeling like I had these superpowers. And I thought, oh my God, if I can achieve this, now that I'm like my own cheerleader, like what else can I do? Like, I always used to say that this was never possible for me. So what about like the fact that I've always been insecure about my belly, which is like 10 times bigger now than it ever was back when I was initially like worried about how people saw my belly. And I look back now and think, what belly? So it's like, it's all like how you perceive yourself. And what I say now is like, concentrate on changing how you see yourself and not how others see you. And as soon as I realized how it was actually me bullying myself in the mirror, I actually started thinking, well, what else am I afraid of? What else am I worried about people's opinions of? And that's the next thing. So it started with acne, and then it was like, okay, I'm gonna like look at my, getting confident in my body, I'm gonna get confident in like intimacy and just all of these different things. And then anything that had shame or taboo attached to it felt like something else I wanted to break down and be like, actually, this is not acceptable for anyone to go through life and be worrying about this aspect of what is probably a human thing to have, like whether it be body hair or whatever else. It's like crazy how many people are paralyzed in fear and not doing things on account of those things. And that's like travel. And even if you think about all the different places all over the world with different societal standards, it's different in every country. And then there's some countries that are even more behind than the UK. And I was speaking a lot about body hair at one point, and a lot of people in Brazil follow me because they have a real problem with being expected to show up in a certain way. And having hair for them is really taboo. So I have a lot of support from over there based on the fact that they just don't have anyone that's able to speak up about it over there.
Yeah, and that is a real big thing of different cultures and kind of being able to, especially going to different places, we're wanting to explore, but then we also don't want to be put off by kind of expectations of especially how women should be, how we should behave. Like it's a real big thing. Have you found that kind of looking back now that there were certain kind of places that you were maybe put off more for kind of going to, or kind of feeling more insecure in certain places other more than others?
Yeah, definitely like the hot party zones. So like Ibiza, anywhere like Mykonos or like, you know, Miami Beach, there's the Nikki Beach, like basically all of these very Instagrammable places that I knew there would just be a lot of like very beautiful people that I just didn't think, yeah, I measured up to and would not fit in. And also when you're feeling like that, you stop having a good time because you're so consumed with looking at other people and comparing yourselves to everyone around you. And I think that's the goal, is to actually not have any restrictions and to look at someone next to you and think, yeah, they look beautiful and their body is amazing and, you know, wow. But actually, I'm okay with that. I'm okay that they're, you know, you can appreciate someone else without it diminishing anything of you. I think that's what I've had to learn how to do. And that isn't something that's been easy to do. And it's definitely something I'm not 100% in all of the time. I still do compare myself. And I think that's because we're still exposed to media constantly. There's always these things that are niggling away at you, and it's about really daily reminding yourself of, you know, what you've learned, which is, you know, not to compare yourself to strangers, not to follow accounts that are using filters and all the rest of it, and, you know, only sharing the good bits and not any of the reality like we mentioned earlier, because it is all of that stuff. Like when I was a kid, it was more to do with, you know, if a friend had a party and you weren't invited. Yeah. And then everyone on the Monday morning was talking about the party that you didn't go to. Whereas on social media, it's that times a million, isn't it? Because you're looking at all the things you haven't gone to. And you start thinking, God, like, I have a really boring life. I'm sat here folding laundry and everyone else is having a wonderful time. And it's just that they don't, that no one wants to see, I mean, some people want to see folding laundry on social media. I realize there is a place for that there. But, you know, a lot of people don't put all the mundane stuff on there because actually people don't want to see it. So that it's a bit of a hard one because, yes, social media is a highlight reel. But ultimately, you don't want it to be clogged up with like mundane stuff either. So I just do chuck in and it... every now and then like a bit of reality to just show, oh, by the way, I haven't gone out this weekend or done anything amazing. You know, just in case.
Absolutely, and that's okay. We all do it.
yeah, but you know, I won't bore people with, you know, step by step what I had for breakfast, and you know, literally making the bed in the morning, and you know, all of that stuff. Like, I just try and do it in a short way.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you find you enjoy the most about traveling when you're away? Is it kind of being exposed to those different cultures in like a strange kind of way? Or maybe kind of going and meeting people. I mean, some people love to just go and explore and just have that me time, and others like to socialize. It's okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might find that you have different holidays for different things. People also love doing the beach trips, and sometimes they like to do the city breaks.
Yeah, I do love a mixture, to be fair. But you know, if holidays are rare, then I'll always choose a hot sunny holiday. But I love all of them. Like, I love like a skiing holiday, I love city breaks, and you know, love beaches. So you know, if I had to choose one because of budget or because of, you know, just not having enough time to get away, then it would always be sun and sea and sand. And then in terms of like what I'm all about, it's food. So that is my main thing. When I go away, I want to eat like local cuisine and really find those places that aren't necessarily tourist places. They're like the places where the locals go. Like, I love a good farmer's market, like you know, just where everyone's doing their shopping, or just just getting a little bit further out, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And just having a little bit of an explore. I do really like that element of travel.
Absolutely. I'm going to really throw you on the spot and say,
Where
has been your favourite country for the food?
Oh, that is hard. I can't really say one. So I got married in Mexico, I should say.
Wow.
So love ceviche. That's my takeaway from Mexico. But when I was travelling before I went to the Caribbean, my favorite place for food was Denmark. Amazing bread, which I didn't expect. And Slovakia, really amazing. I would say those are my two standout places. Turkey as well. Turkey got me into a new diet, actually, in terms of broadened my horizons, because I was about 20, like early 20s, when I went to Turkey for the first time with work. And they were very kind, the place where I was staying. They would just drop off a tray of breakfast in the morning, because it was quite a low-key kind of apartment type thing I was staying in. And they would drop off a tray, and it had like yogurt, fruit, which I have irritable bowel syndrome, so I have to eat pretty consistently. And trying new things can set it off, especially things I know now that I'm allergic to but I didn't know at the time, so yogurt being dairy being one of them. And I can't remember what the other things were. Honey. So it was like the first time I'd ever had, I think it was probably Greek yogurt, to be fair, or it was like that fromage, like almost like cheese yogurt. And like kiwi and things like that, and like just all this honey. And I started just having that for breakfast when I got back home in the UK. So I think what I really like about going overseas, that is so basic as well, just yogurt and fruit. I realized that, but at the time I was a cereal girl, so that was like, wow, having yogurt and fruit for breakfast. That was just how unbroadened my horizons were. I was made up with that, and that's kind of what I ate for ages after that trip. And didn't eat tomatoes, and it wasn't until I started going overseas and I had, oh my gosh, gotta stop the tomato chat for when I went to Portugal. I had an apple.
Yeah.
Oh, they taste so different. Oh my god,
you get like flashbacks of the first time you taste the apples.
An actual real apple that hasn't been completely devoid of all flavor. It was, you know, when you have apple candy sweets, like sweets from the shop, like apple bonbons. It was that in an apple. And I was like, oh my God, this is actually what apples taste like. And I couldn't believe it. And I thought, God, if I had apples like this all the time, I'd eat loads. But yeah, our apples in this country are a little bit flavorless. And that was just insane. And I remember tasting that for the first time, just thinking, oh my God.
Now I'm really wanting to go to Portugal and
get an apple. Yeah. And I went to, this was on holiday, actually. I went to, tell me where else was I? Oh, Beckway. Have you heard of that in the Caribbean?
I haven't, no.
Beckway Island. Now it's off of a major Caribbean island, but you'll have to Google it.
It's in the Caribbean.
It's in the Caribbean, so it's called Beckway. But off of, I want to say St. Martin kind of way. And I had papaya and what was it? I think it was just papaya. And anyway, they did they had homemade yogurt. That was the most insane. Like when you taste local produce that's literally been made recently and fruit that has literally just come off a tree or wherever in the area that you're staying hasn't traveled. It is just like fruit is insane when it's fresh in the country that it was grown in. So yeah, sorry to just bang on about fruit, but
yeah. No, I get that. And I think as well, like I always find that I'll go to certain places on holiday and I'll try local cuisine, and then it's that one particular meal where you're like, I need to recreate this, but it can never be recreated in that same way. And you're like, if only I could spend like that same amount of money just to go back to that place for that one particular meal every single time. Like, I'm with you on food being a high.
Have you ever gone back somewhere like on holiday because you enjoyed it so much and then you went back and you didn't enjoy it the second time? It wasn't.
Yes.
Where was that?
I've been back to Tirana in Albania, and I think the first time, I think also weather can change how a trip is. Like it depends like the time of year that you go.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to somewhere, especially Albania, like it's great for the coast and definitely the countryside, but then maybe that's my preference, that I'm not really a city person. Like I go to certain places for the city breaks because they're renowned for that, you know. It's going to Lisbon, or you're going to go to Barcelona, which you're like, great, I know what's there. I'm going to go specifically maybe to see certain places and historical sites. But then sometimes like I can get very overwhelmed in cities, and the people, the hustle bustle life is just not what I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah.
So that was definitely
one of those what moments. About you? I don't know, actually. I don't know if I've ever I would like to say I try not to go back places because of that concern. I can't really recall a moment doing it by country, but I've definitely experienced it, like when you have the most incredible meal at a restaurant and you go back and it's like nothing like what you experienced the first time round. So it always worries me with going on holidays, because you do worry that it will put a dampener on kind of the previous memories that you have associated with that place. I do try. There's just so many places I want to go at this point. I would love to go back to Tulum when we got married, but then at the same, because that's why we chose to go back there. Why we chose to get married there is because it was somewhere we could easily go back to. But where we lived at the time in the British Virgin Islands, if we got married there, it is a bit of a pain to get to, and it's an expensive set of flights. So we didn't really want to celebrate, you know, if we had any big anniversaries and we wanted to go back to where we got married, didn't want it to be like a complicated situation. And because the hurricane had just been there as well, we decided it wasn't really the islands that we knew. So we decided to not get married there. And also every part of our story so far as a couple had been in the British Virgin Islands. Like we met, got engaged there, like everything. So we decided to like create memories somewhere else. And I'm really pleased that we did do that. Because I just still feel like as a solo, as a couple, with friends, there's just too many places to go to go back to the same place. As a kid, we used to go to the same place on repeat every year.
I think especially after the pandemic, I'm definitely so keen to try and go to new places. So sometimes, which is a good thing, because I love to try and go to as many new places as I can, tick off as many countries. But also it does have its downer when friends will be like, okay, let's go on a group trip. Let's go to somewhere, you know, easy, cheap flights. Like, let's go to Spain or somewhere that is just easy to go to. Everyone knows it. And then I'm there like, oh, well, this is my list of countries that I'd really like.
Yeah, you're not on the list.
Yeah, and they're really like bizarre ones that maybe people aren't normally keen to go to. I recently went to North Macedonia and that was incredible. Like, if you haven't been, like, I definitely recommend it. We went to Ohrid, which is, I hope I'm pronouncing it okay, but it's just set on a lake. And it felt bizarre. It feels bizarre to say that it felt as though it wasn't Europe. Like, I felt as though I'd got on a really long flight and I was over in Asia or somewhere in the Middle East, like, that wasn't Europe. Like, the breathtaking. So I definitely would recommend it. And the flights were only £40 return, which was incredible. But again, like, I feel as though sometimes people are quite short-sighted and being like, okay, I want to go to the places that I know. And
yes,
I'm too nervous to go to other places.
Yeah,
maybe they don't know many people that have gone to those places.
Yeah, which is understandable because you know, when you do only have such a short amount of time to go on holiday or restricted budget, you kind of want guaranteed certain things, don't you? Whether it be familiarity, whether it be, you know, knowing that you're not going to get lost, you know your way to the hotel, you know, like, what the transfer is, or you know you like the food, like, all those things add up and you're like, actually, you know, I just want a really easygoing holiday, and that equals going somewhere I've been before.
Absolutely. And I think there's something a bit daunting for people of the unknown, where maybe, like, yeah, you'd be like, oh, well, where is North Macedonia? Like, I've never heard of that. So why would I necessarily go? But I think before I'd heard about North Macedonia, I definitely was in that mindset. But then I'd really fixated myself on this particular place. And I was like, that looks incredible. I really want to go and I just want to explore. And
Is it quite mountainous there? I feel like it's famous for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what was so incredible, that you could look out to this lake and then in the distance there's all these mountains, and the mountains that were further away were covered in, like, mist and clouds. So it was a great, I only recently went. So I think going back in September or June time is a good time to go, because they also do swimming in lakes. Like, there's kind of outdoor activities. I mean, people were canoeing, paddle boarding. Like, it is great. But
it does sound beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. Add it to your
list. Well, for £40 as well, like, that is somewhere you could go back to again and again. Like, exactly. If it's a relatively, you know, if it's an affordable holiday, if the flights aren't far, you know, then it's absolutely, like, more, like, I'm much more willing to go back to cities. I've been actually saying that that's one place I have been back to a lot is New York. Mm-hmm. Not into shopping, not into much, but I just love the buzz.
Yeah,
so that's kind of why I would go back places, if you have a feeling as soon as you touch down and you don't know what that is. You don't know, you know, you don't really know what's happening. It's just, you know, you have a certain energy where you're in different places, and New York is weirdly one of those places for me. I don't know why.
Absolutely. I know that feeling that you're talking about as well. Like, I had that when I was in Australia and I'd gone to do, like, it's like a gap year. I'd gone to Sydney and then I traveled up the Gold Coast. And then I was flying back from, where was I flying back from? Maybe Brisbane. I think I was flying from Brisbane to Sydney to kind of travel back. And I kind of got, like, a butterfly feeling, like, oh, I'm like, it felt like a home feeling.
Yeah, like, home from home places are amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But, yeah. I think it's really lucky when you feel like that about a place, like you have an attachment to it, even though it's not where you were born, it's not even close to where you were born, or, you know, it's got really, other than the fact that you visited a couple of times, it's got nothing, you know, to make you feel that way. But it's so bizarre, like sometimes when I was in the British Virgin Islands, I actually felt like it was where I belonged. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever felt a belonging, and like I remember just standing looking at a view once, just thinking I was meant to stand here and look at this. Yeah. And it's just nuts, isn't it? Because it's so, we're so tiny in this little universe. In this little universe, we're tiny. And yeah, I just feel like, how odd that I feel like I'm 4,000-5,000 miles away from where I was born, yet I just feel like I'm meant to be here.
Absolutely. Did you have friends and family travel out at all to come and visit?
Not as much as I'd like to. It was just it was such a long way. Mm-hmm. It was two different flights. It's like a proper over 24 hours door-to-door kind of situation. And then you've got the time difference. And I also worked somewhere, it's very expensive. So for the flights alone, it's expensive. So then expect someone to kind of pay for hotels and stuff. It just wasn't an easy thing to do. But my husband and I once went, our first kind of holiday that we did in the British Virgin Islands together was renting a boat, like a catamaran. And we just stayed, it was off season because the British Virgin Islands has like a hurricane season. And just before that hurricane season, it closes anyway, just for like maybe the quieter part of the hurricane season. I think it's in August. And then September, October are like the more busy months of having weather. And in the August, we got this catamaran. It's cheaper rates to get a boat because it's like out of season. But all the places that you stop off at, the core like boat hubs, you know, ports and stuff that cater for people on boats, they were all shut as well. That's why you get like, we knew that you get it, get it cheaper for the fact that it's not like going to be the same boating experience. But the sea's still there and the sun is still there and it's still like a lovely time. And I'm really lucky that my husband's a chef. So we literally just stocked the boat full of food and he cooked for us the whole time, and we loved it because he was just doing breakfast, lunch and dinner on the barbecue on the boat, and you're just in the middle of the ocean just bobbing along. It really was. But we also felt safe because we knew where we were, and we knew, like, you know, if we did get into trouble for whatever reason, we could call the place where we worked, which would have been like a half an hour, 45 minute boat ride for them to come and get us or whatever. So there's that element of safety as well as feeling completely isolated at the same time, like a safe isolation.
Absolutely.
And it was both of our first time being on a boat that size by ourselves, and real test of the relationship as well, because I had to do all like the deckhand stuff, which I'd never done before, and he drove the boat. It was great. Was
figuring out the teamwork and kind of who contributed to what.
Yeah, and if you can survive that, then
absolutely, you are married.
That was one of my favourite holidays still to date. Was that is going on that boat? It was amazing. But yeah, I think you have to be a boat person.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was just saying, I guess if you're not into boats, then it's probably your idea of hell. it's like caravanning on the water.
Yeah. And I can imagine, like, you just want to hope that the sea is, like, soft and not rough.
It was so beautiful. It's so beautiful. If you haven't been to the British Virgin Islands, it is beautiful. And it's like, we went back in December and it is completely recovered now from the hurricane. It's now back to the state that it was when Chris and I first arrived in 2015. So it did take like 4 years for it to go back to how it was. So it's amazing what nature can do and how it can repair itself. But only now, in terms of vegetation, does it look as full and lush as it used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And had you been to Mexico before you got married?
No. So we're quite spontaneous like that. Yeah, we're just like, we'd never been to the British Virgin Islands before we both moved there, like independently. So you know, it's all about the job and not really, oh, I haven't even heard of the British Virgin Islands before. Let's just go. And yeah, with Mexico, I'm a bit of a traveler through Instagram. So I get a lot of my inspo for travel through Instagram. And Tulum kept coming up, obviously, because it's like proper tourist place now. Everyone goes to Tulum. And yeah, I thought, well, that's like a really good place for us to get married, actually, because it was just the two of us. We eloped. So we wanted something quite low-key. I wanted like a shaman to marry us. So we weren't officially married in Mexico, but we got married in the British Virgin Islands when we got back officially. But yeah, it's beautiful because I'm quite spiritual, like with my background in beauty. So that I've always worked in the spa industry more than like the beauty salon kind of part. So for me, having a shaman talking about like the earth, and we put like, I think we put coffee in the ground, coffee beans in the ground. We buried like rose petals. We threw something to the wind. Like everything that had, yeah, like it was, everything was really spiritual, but for some reason, like neither of us thought about it, but the whole thing was in Spanish.
Oh yeah.
And we didn't even think about it, but it didn't matter because like it's cheesy, but they, you know, but they say like love is a universal language. It just didn't matter, and it just all, there was a translator there and he spoke when he needed to, but it was actually just quite nice for us both to like get the concept. And they were like blowing conch shells and stuff, and
yeah,
we literally just emailed this venue and said, oh, we just want to get married, just two of us. And they were like, yeah, okay, that's booked in then. I'm like, okay, don't need to discuss anything? No, it's fine, we'll sort it out. You just come here at this time and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I kind of feel like I'm not getting married. So is that it? And I'm really low-key anyway, like absolutely don't need like too much correspondence and planning for the wedding. So I was really happy about like not really having anything to do, but also they were so laid back. I was worried that it wasn't really properly booked in.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to turn up in this place and use the venue.
Yeah. And then when we arrived, it's at this hotel. If you want to check it out, it's called Azulik. It's the most incredible looking place. And you get to the entrance and they're all in there waiting. Like you're like, oh, come to get married. And they're like, yeah, we've been waiting for you. I was like, oh wow, okay. And then you go on this like what I call a spa journey, where you take your guests from A to B to get to the spa before you go to the massage. And it was the same with the wedding, so we had like a little journey to get from arriving at the door to the venue that we were actually going to get married. And funnily enough, where they did all their marriage like ceremonies was in the spa. And it's like I can't even get away from spa, like it was just all meant to be, like the actual place where you went to marry is where they used to do their couples treatments, which overlooks the ocean. So this is just all working out, this is how it should have been. And so you start going on this journey where you're going like basically through this kind of jungle within the hotel. And they've stationed all their spa therapists who are wearing like white, like flowy white gowns with like a red sash. And then they've all got all of these like Mexican style musical instruments, like whether it be like shakers or something that they're patting. And they're all just like humming and like basically creating your aisle music, walking through this jungle to the point where you get to basically this spa deck, and then the shaman's there waiting. But because it was just the two of us, kind of wasn't expecting any sort of fanfare. And then they're all like just there for you, and it was just like, wow, they're all lined up like watching me and Chris like walk through, and they're playing all this like local very soulful kind of quite primitive like style music. And I just absolutely like quite tribal in a way, but also spiritual because of the nature of like the venue and you know, the fact that there's a spa team doing it, and it just felt like so magical. So I feel so lucky to have had such an incredible experience, given that it was like a couple of email exchanges.
Absolutely, yeah. It honestly does sound so magical. It sounds like something you'd see in a film.
It really, yeah. And then when we got the footage back from the videographer, it was like, wow, this really does look quite cinematic and quite unreal. So I wouldn't, like, with all the money in the world, I would never choose to get married in a different way. Yeah. It was really special. Yeah, really intimate. And just the two of us, it's really lovely. And never been to Mexico, but just gave it a, you know, gave it a go. And there's definitely an element there of Instagram beats reality, because there's a few hotspots where people go to get the picture, whether it being outside Macha Mama having a smoothie bowl or like at different like places with cenotes and things like that. And you see the shot and you're like, oh, there's the shot, and you stand in front of it and you like pan left. And like, there's just garbage all on the side of the road that's been there for decades. And, you know, Mexico can be like very noisy with generators and sewage smells and things like that. And it's like, wow, yeah, Instagram does not tell you about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I always love those videos that you see online where it's like, oh yeah, this is reality. And then it's just, absolute madness.
Santorini. That's where I would love to go for that picture and for that look, but I wouldn't want anyone else to be there. That's the thing with, like, I want the Instagram experience, not the real life one.
Exactly. So where is on your bucket list?
Definitely, like, places in Greece I've seen recently. I've been watching Gordon Fredden, Gino.
Oh, yeah.
on ITV, and they have this like experience in Greece, and I've just been looking at places that I never really would have thought about going. So that's, and again, very, they're all foodies, so it interests me and my husband, like, the places that they've gone to. Definitely the Maldives at some stage, though it's like, I don't know if there is a less expensive way to do it. So it's maybe one that we'll save up for a while before we ever get there. But I know that we want to go to like Thailand. Japan is a big one for us. Like, Asian cuisine in general is mine and my husband's favorite. And we've spent a lot of time in the, like, you know, in the like Americas. But we haven't gone over to Asia as much. I've been to Asia. Chris used to live in Brisbane, so we've just not really got over there as much as we would both like. And then I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, so I'd also really like to go to Iceland and Greenland, and like Dubrovnik as well, because some of it was fun there.
I went to Dubrovnik this year and it was incredible. The only thing I would say is there were a lot of stairs and I wasn't expecting so many stairs. So just bear that in mind for the time of year that you go, because there's nothing worse than like July time.
Absolutely not. If you're not prepared for either, and my husband hates steps, so it's probably one that I'll do with someone else.
Yeah, or just like make sure that the accommodation is like on one of the lowest, like our accommodation is like,
oh no, so you have to do steps as well. Just to get back.
Absolutely. But it was incredible. I'm also a Game of Thrones fan, so it was very much like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can see that. Like, this is the scene. And then all of my other friends, like, they hadn't really seen it. And I was like, gosh, this trip is wasted on you. You know, they wouldn't appreciate it properly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely it. What about you? What's on your list of places?
I've got Japan. Like, I'd love to do Japan. And I also haven't gone anywhere in South America. And that was something that I was planning to do in 2021. And then everything happened, so was never able to go. So I'd definitely like to go more to kind of South America and try all of those places. I've been to Guatemala, and that was incredible. So I can definitely envision that it's similar to that, and I just love going to places where the cultures are so different and everywhere is kind of really unique. I like to kind of be adventurous and try new
sounds
places.
Like you are. I'd like to go there as well, anywhere in South America. I don't think I've really been it's not like really most of my places that I've ever been have been proper tourist destinations, so I would like to go a bit more off the beaten track a little bit and yeah, not go on your normal holidays. Not there's anything wrong with normal holidays, but it's just like I guess what you get a buzz out of, and absolutely, there's so much of the world to see that I want to see, you know, all of it.
Yeah, and I think like it's bad that I'm trying to prioritize places before global warming really like hits them, mm-hmm. because I want to see them as how they are now and before like more developments are made, or you know, like with Greenland, I'd love to go to there before it isn't as like cold and
yes,
there's not as much snow and
awesome. I'd love to see the Northern Lights. That's one thing I'd really like to see.
Yeah.
I guess it's more like that's probably what clinches it for me is like events.
Yeah.
Like so Northern Lights or like, you know, when people do that hot air balloon thing, which isn't what I'm talking about, but it's like an event that people go to somewhere for. Yeah. That's kind of like more what I like going to places for when there, because I do like the city buzz. So I guess I like the event buzz as well when there's something happening and you're part of history or magic or just something that just feels like once in a lifetime experience. That's kind of the thing that really makes me, because I'm such a homebody, so now I am, so it has to be really special for me to want to go.
I get that. I actually saw, like, I watched the Zac Efron documentary where he went to places. And I know some people listening will be like, oh, well, why do you care about Zac Efron? I mean, to me, he's quite nice. But also, it's really interesting to see all the different places that he went to. And he went to Iceland. And it really fascinated me that they made bread in the ground. And I was like, that's so cool. I want to go and do that. Like, that's so unique. Like to be able to go to somewhere and be able to say you've done that. Pretty random, but I'm like,
I saw that. I saw that. He did some other crazy things, but he did some like quite the, where did he go? A friend of mine's recently been there where he like arrived by boat and it was very like off the beaten track in like islands. I can't remember where it was. But a friend of mine has just recently been there. Like, it's very jungly anyway, or rainforesty, wherever it was.
The one where like hardly anyone goes, and it's like the village where me and my other half are watching it and we're like, should we just pack up everything and just go and live in this village?
It was very like spiritual, wasn't it? And it was also a case where they fended for themselves. It was that situation. People go there, I feel like, for like it's some sort of like retreat of some kind, like not a retreat in the sense of a spa day, but in the sense of you want to disconnect from the world. It was kind of like back to basics, like no phones allowed or whatever.
And I love that. And I think like recently like I went away and I changed my contract, so now like I don't have the data roaming and like you have to connect to the Wi-Fi, and it's like kind of going back in time. And I was like, but it's so nice to be able to just live in the present, where sometimes like you can easily get carried away and just be on social media posting stuff constantly and like texting people whilst you're away. And I was like, this is so nice to just be able to take it all in, and I can worry about posting on social media later on.
Just not being available, I think, is the nicest thing. Not being reachable.
But it's been so lovely speaking to you.
Emma. Thank you.
Yeah.
You have made me want to travel.
Where you
now.
Go next.
You have made me want to go somewhere now.
I know. Well, look on Skyscanner. That's always a good one. I always just like keep it as everywhere in the destination bit and then just see where the cheapest places are. And I'm like, all right, perfect.
Top tip. I should have told you, like, my whole plan when we left the BBI, what happened was Chris and I didn't know what we wanted to do when we let before we handed in our notice, because we met there and we didn't know like how we were gonna work together, like in a different country, because he's a chef and I work in spa, and so we just didn't really know like would we work in the same place again, would we like go our separate ways in terms of careers and then still live together. But that seemed really odd for us because we literally spent 24 hours a day together, work even though we worked in different departments. As heads of departments, we work closely together, and we just couldn't imagine life outside island life. And we thought, well, what are we going to do, because nothing's going to quite have the same edge to it as this life. And we thought, oh, well, what we'll do, we don't know where we want to live in the world, because neither of us really wanted to move back to the UK, like hotter climates. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, well, we'll travel Europe and we'll find somewhere that we both like. And so we bought a vintage Airstream with the renovating it and getting it like livable to do like van life style. And then the pandemic hit and we were like, oh my god, so this has happened. And we hadn't left the BVI yet, but we had given them our notice, and because they didn't know what was going to happen with tourism, they decided to like not take us back and just to say, you know, you are going to have to leave. But we couldn't actually leave the country for another 2 months just because flights weren't going in or out. So we stayed an extra 2 months and got the Airstream ready in September and thought we could travel. There was a point where it was like, you're not allowed to, so we obviously didn't travel. And we thought, we found a lovely friends of ours, they had a place in Devon, and so we thought, oh, we'll stay with them in their field and we'll live there. But it was really cold in the UK to be in an Airstream that's made of tin. It wasn't really that comfortable. And it just didn't, the edge had gone from it, like the dreaming aspect. I had all these high hopes of traveling Europe. And the thing is with me and Chris is we don't want to do it in COVID times. And I know that it could be quite naive to say that because we don't know how long this is going to go on for and, you know, how much more impact it's going to have like long term. But we really didn't want our big trip together that we were going to do to be impacted anyway by COVID. We wanted to travel in the times before, and although friends of ours were still traveling post-COVID safely and still having a nice time, yes, they still had restrictions and there were still like things that made the trip slightly more awkward or whatever because of COVID. And Chris and I just didn't want that. We wanted to have the pure, you know, COVID bliss isn't the right word, but like, you know, with just without it basically. And we thought this whole idea of traveling just isn't working. Like we have to come up with a whole new plan. So that's how we winded up like where we are now in the UK, living in the UK. We had no intention of living here. We're very happy where we are now, 2 years on. But it took us a really long time to get to this point because our hearts were completely like committed to this idea of traveling Europe together and finding a home and working remotely. And you know, for anyone listening who had, you know, whose plans just go awry and you're just not where you thought you were going to be, there is sometimes like beauty with finding like new direction, especially in our case where it really did feel like we were so lost for a long time. But I think when you're, you know, when you're together with someone or when you're following, you know, your passions or things like that, then it doesn't really matter where you are. It's more like who you're with. So that's kind of my takeaway from the whole thing of expecting to do one thing and ending up doing another. It's like led me here, and it's also cheesy, but
no, I'm a real believer in whatever's meant to be will be. And like look at you now, like you've got an exciting really house, like you can do, and
wouldn't have had any of that. We wouldn't have had any of that if things had gone the way we thought they were going to go. So we are better off for it now, but it's just taken a long time to realize that. So but I thought, you know, as we're talking about travel, I should explain that we really intended to travel wholeheartedly around Europe, but it never happened for us. And people always say, oh, so now things have calmed down, are you gonna, you know, do that? But it kind of felt like in the moment that was the right thing to do, but it no longer feels like it is the right thing to do. So, you know, your plans change.
You've got different journeys now. And yeah, like, you never know. Like, once you're settled, then you may be like, yeah, after a couple of years, say, okay, yeah, let's do our trip to Japan and travel around there.
Yeah,
I'm excited to kind of see,
what's next. Yeah, no, I do love traveling. I think the pandemic has made us, like me especially, more rooted. Because I did love moving around and love seeing new places, and for whatever reason right now, and I don't know if it's like to do with mental health or just because of how scary the pandemic was or still is, I have no desire to actually, you know, you've definitely made me want to go places, but also when you really think about what that involves,
yeah,
you know, after like all the dreaming and everything and all the lovely things that you're gonna do, like actually to make that happen, sometimes it does make me kind of think, oh, actually no, I would just rather stay at home. So I know, though, as soon as I actually get out there, it's like whenever I like do little day trips now, I always instantly feel so much better for it. And yeah, I'm like, this is why you have to push yourself to get out there. Otherwise, I would quite happily just literally stay at home.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is good when you have someone that just kind of encourages you to go somewhere.
Absolutely. It's finding that balance as well. And yeah, definitely when you feel ready to kind of take that jump to be like, okay, right, now I'm going to do this. Like, that's when you know you'll have a good time. Because if you make the jump before ready, like, you're just not going to enjoy it. You're going to be in that mindset of, I really just don't want to be here. Like, once you're in that mindset, you can't really get out of it. So,
no. Have you been on holiday when that's happened?
I can't recall off the top of my head. I've definitely had, like, experiences or, like, times where, like, even if, like, I'll go out, like here for like with friends and I'm like, I really just don't want to be here mentally. Like, I should just listen to myself, and I'm such a yes person and I never want to let people down. So sometimes it's hard for me to say no, and I'm trying to listen to my inner self more and just accept that actually, Emma, you're not meant, like, you don't want to mentally go out. Like, you just want to, I need to listen to my body and just rest.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes it's hard because, like, also for me to be sociable, for me to feel mentally like at my happiest, like, I feel like I want to be sociable, but it's hard to have balance.
it's such a balance, and it's so hard to actually know what that is for you, because obviously everyone's balance is different. I always feel so much better after saying yes to something actually getting out there and doing it, but there are definitely times where I have not listened to myself and not done what I know I needed, and then I'm either like a big thundercloud in a party somewhere and people are like, oh, why aren't you having a good time?
And there's nothing worse than when people say that, being like, oh, come on, like, like, have a good time, like, enjoy yourself more, and you're like, but I'm already like in this mindset where I don't want to be
Yeah, no, but there's something about that feeling, the moment that the gates open when you get off a plane.
Yeah.
And like you're in that other country and the air just feels different.
Absolutely. I can relax as soon as I've landed and touched down in the country that I'm visiting, and I can be like, okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And now I can relax.
Yeah.
Because I can get very stressed when flying, which is so ridiculous to say when I fly so much and I enjoy doing it, but I feel very uneasy until like I've touched down or like even made it through like the security.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, perfect. Now I can relax.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that I've been saying quite a bit on social media as well, is that it's not, you know, it is about relaxing, you know, whether you're doing a city break or whether you're doing a beach holiday, activity holiday, whatever, it is about switching off from your norm. Yeah. And a lot of people who are insecure about the way they look don't switch off from that when they're on vacation, and so in my opinion, you've not really had a vacation at all. I just don't think it is really a vacation if you're not having a break from all of that rubbish stuff that you say to yourself in your head. So yeah, that's kind of like what I'd like people to take away from listening to this here, is that, you know, you're not really switching off and you're not really having a nice time if you're still carrying all of that weight of the stuff that you carry when you're at home, worrying about what people think of you. Like, I feel like being on vacation should be like the test run, like your practice run of not caring what people think, because these are all strangers and no one here knows who you are. So if you ever wanted like a blank canvas or a way to practice being confident, is doing it on vacation is like the perfect place to do it. And also if you're with like family, like with their support as well, like they're sometimes the hardest people to do it in front of, but at least you're doing it in front of them without the world watching as well. So yeah, vacation is always a place that I have used in the past. When I had acne, I would sometimes not take my makeup bag. That was more when I was in a teen, still going on holidays with my parents, and I would like really test myself and I'd leave my makeup bag at home, and that forced me not to wear it all holiday. And those kind of little challenges I set myself were like quite important for me. Vacation needs to be a vacation from yourself sometimes. Thank you, Emma. It's been so nice chatting to you.
You too.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Travel Minded podcast. You can also find us on Instagram at Travel Minded the podcast. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Justice Abroad.
Justice Abroad was founded in 2019 and is led by myself, Michael Polak, a trained barrister and expert in international law and assistance. Justice Abroad operates to ensure that people who travel overseas for work or pleasure can be confident that if anything goes wrong, there'll be someone ready to help them. We are seeing an increasing number of cases across the world where people find themselves in trouble and we've been asked to assist. Justice Abroad has a team of top investigators, lawyers around the world, and support staff available to provide unparalleled support. Many people when traveling have an attitude of, it'll never happen to me, and then when something does go wrong, they feel helpless, with nowhere to turn. Anyone traveling for any purpose should be aware of the issues that could arise, and be prepared to get in touch with us should something go wrong. We currently have cases in Greece, China, Thailand, Somalia, Myanmar, Cyprus, Spain, Vietnam, and many other countries around the globe. The increased number of cases which are coming to us proves how frequently travellers can find themselves in trouble, often as a victim of crime or accused of offences they did not commit. Usually, travel insurance will not cover you for assistance and advice with legal problems overseas, and even where they do, the assistance can prove ineffectual and not practical. At Justice Abroad, we have an extremely hands-on approach that allows our clients to feel assured that we will deal with every aspect of their situation and ensure they have the best possible outcome. We're Justice Abroad, and we're here when you need us. Thank you.